Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1 with It's for Women. The car insurance you can sort online anytime.
Well, just last month, James Vincent McMorrow gave us a sneaky exclusive when he told us that his long-awaited new album, Grapefruit Season, would be released on the 16th of July. Well, ahead of that, James is back to perform his latest single. We're going to chat in a moment, but first, from Studio 8 of the RT Radio Centre, this is James Vincent McMorrow with Paradise.
I forgot to call. Get a little lost, I'm sorry. I'm always on my phone, looking down at stars before they form. 'Cause baby, in the light they're golden, or maybe they're blue and I just can't tell yet. I know I'm so dramatic, yeah, I know. I'm so dramatic, yeah, I know. Ooh, ooh, ooh. So pretend that we're surrounded. Pretend I got what it takes to drive us out of town low, avoiding where the other bodies lay. 'Cause I never wanna be like them, never knowing if I keep you safe. Never loving like we got no breaks. Pretend that we're surrounded by this paradise. Oh, 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 by this paradise. Oh, 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 by this paradise. Oh, 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 oh. Pretend that we're surrounded. 'Cause I refuse to be out here on my own next summer. Home at the weekend, making no plans. Oh, don't forget to breathe. 'Cause living in the warmth is something, and it won't be long before we're back there again. So pretend now we're surrounded, and pretend I got what it takes to drive us out of town, love, avoiding where the other bodies lay. 'Cause I never wanna be like them, never knowing if I keep you safe. Never loving like we got no breaks. Pretend that we're surrounded by this paradise. Oh, 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 by this paradise. Oh, 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 by this paradise. Oh, 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 oh. Pretend that we're surrounded. Pretend I got what it takes. 'Cause nothing here without you is any fun. Nothing here without you is any fun.
James Vincent McMorrow, good morning and welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Paradise, that's the new single.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. That's like, that's the one for me.
What is it ultimately about?
Well, a huge part of the career of a musician is being a very curated person. Mm. We all have a forward-facing version of ourselves now because like social media is such a prevalent part of my life since the very moment it started my career. And I'm not a very good forward-facing person because I have a lot of just anxiety over things. So much of my self-worth is defined by the vision that people see of me, I guess. because this is all I've ever known. And everyone has always told me I'm very good at singing and it's always been my career. Like, so it got taken away last year. And I think that that made me ask, like, not a lot of questions, but some questions about patience and what it actually means to be a whole rounded human. I was watching a Kate Bush documentary and she was talking about leaving music for the length that she did. And she was like, I'm like a caricature of myself. We're not full versions of ourselves like musicians, but I think it's true of a lot of people because even in the hardest times in this last year, people still feel this instinctive need to go on social media and present a curated vision of themselves with a filter and all these different things. And I understand the psychology of it, but it's wrought with stress. I've been thinking a lot about that and I guess writing songs based on that experience while I had the opportunity to.
And that's so interesting because you've spoken in the past really powerfully. You mentioned anxiety there, you know, mental health issues, which so many people in this country deal with. But do you think because of the times we're in at the moment, the whole issue of control matters and impacts on people? Because we all like to have some control over our lives, but right now we really probably don't.
Yeah, I think it's really laid bare how little control we have. I did an interview for someone with The Guardian a couple of weeks ago. Like, I've spoken, like, not a lot, but a decent amount about me, that I had quite a debilitating eating disorder when I was a kid and how music sort of became my lifeline, but also sort of became my control mechanism, because as soon as someone gave me validation and was like, you're really good at this, I was like, I can control this narrative. And I spun it into this career, which is, you know, quite successful. And I just thought I was over that issue. And I have been, thankfully, over that specific issue. But the actual root cause of it, the root problem, migrated over to this other thing that became the thing that gave me everything in life. So yeah. You don't realize the relationship that you have with control is so one-sided in that, like, you're not controlling anything. And last year taught me, and taught, again, loads of people listening, I'm sure, that, like, you're in control of nothing. You take for granted so much. You expect the next thing to just inevitably happen because you derive your self-worth from your work ethic and the things that you do. And that's all taken away. And you're just left in a room by yourself going, like, what am I? Like, what is this person staring back at me? That was, like, for me anyway, it was a lot of dark moments in the last 12 months that I've not experienced in my life.
For someone listening now, who's really understanding and empathizing and saying, that's how I felt over the past year. But do you think it's helped you that you can write music so you can at least let some of that out?
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. I think what I was letting out was still quite controlled. And I think that was another illuminating part of the process in the last 12 months, was like realizing that, like, actual candid honesty is really hard to come by. Mm. And musicians are still presenting a picture of themselves that they think you want to see or hear. You know what I mean? Like, I look a certain way because you expect yourself to look, you know what I mean? There's all these things that's like a cat chasing its own tail or a dog chasing its own tail. You're just constantly in this circle thinking this is the right thing to do. Honesty is that sort of like commodity that I'm sort of looking for. And I always thought that I brought it in my music and people always applauded me for bringing it, but I've realize that I can do more. I can bring more honesty. So, like, starting a song like Waiting with the lyric, literally, like, I cried in my car. Mm-hmm. If you had told me 10 years ago that I would have put something like that in a song, I would have found 50 ways to find a metaphor to say that, you know, like, yeah, something that in my mind that would have been much more eloquent and much more, you know, poetic, but wasn't on the honest approach because those levels of guard were still there that were like, no, I need to do this in a way that I think people need from me, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I've just kind of, I've lost that, at least recently, much to my betterment, where I'm able to just sit in a room and approach something from a much more candid, honest approach and even talk about my own self. I've never really included myself in the narrative of my music because I'm an anxious person and I like the idea that my music does the talking for me.
You've been writing songs, doing music for a decade. And, you know, when I scroll through Spotify, I see tracks of yours with more than 100 million listeners and listen. So that's a huge reach. So when you're doing what you're doing now, which is being incredibly honest, that's going to connect with so many people.
Yeah. And again, something that I've really been made to appreciate in this last year was the connection I have with people that have come with me from, like, it's 10 years this year since I put out my first album. And I have vivid memories of being in this room, playing songs for the first time and being terrified. And over the time, you lose that terror, you know, and it becomes something else. It becomes like a confidence, I guess. But it's, yeah, sorry, I'm getting lost in my thoughts thinking about 10 years now. It's just, it's been an amount of time to grow through this thing.
Mind you, the only good thing about lockdown, I suppose, is it's enabled all of us to spend more time at home with our children. I know you've been spending more quality time with your little daughter.
Yeah.
Was that great?
It was. It was brilliant. And it's almost a year since we made the first video for a song called Headlights, and she was in it.
She's two, isn't she?
She's almost three. I mean, she'd be three by the time the album comes
out. She's getting very old.
Yeah, I know. It's time for her to like go earn some money and like do some stuff. No, it's funny because you don't think about perspective. It's always where the, like I would go away for like a week at a time when I was making the album, and I always tried to come back. And when I made the album in LA, I flew my wife and daughter out, and she was 7 months old, and they lived in a house in Echo Park, and they would come and pick me up every day, and it was a beautiful thing. And so I have all these lovely memories, but all of my memories are kind of marked by these occasions. Like I would go away for 2-3 weeks, I would come back and she would have changed, and it's like wow. And now for the last year I've just slowly seen this change, and it's pretty seismic. It's pretty beautiful to see. Yeah, she's become an actual person, like with like attitude.
She'll be running the world soon. She's nearly three.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I, of course, this year you also pulled together a great crew for Out of the Gaff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That, remind people of that.
Yeah, that was cool. That was me, Denise, Chyla, Circa Richardson, Merle, God knows. It was a lot of people. So last year I just had this kind of idea of like once everything eased off last summer, I was like, I'm just going to rent studios and I'm going to bring some friends in or people I admire, like Denise, who I'm a big fan of, and just put them in the room and have fun and see what comes out of it. So that's another little time capsule where it was just like, it wasn't supposed to be anything. And we just did it for fun. And how often do you get to just do things for fun anymore? Like it was lovely. It was a brilliant
It was
one.
Great though.
Yeah, it was nice.
Worked out well. Are you naturally though a solo artist, do you think? Or do you prefer to work in a large group? And if so, is that a challenge for a one-man band like you?
It's funny. I was just talking to a friend of mine before I came here, and I was saying how grateful I am that I'm a solo artist because I work well with others in certain contexts, but I would always put my hand up and say that I am an absolute control freak. I am the worst control freak that I've ever met.
Are you?
Oh, unbelievable. Like, if I can affect the outcome of a situation, I feel good. And if I can't, I feel terrible. And that's so binary, but that's just the reality. And when I was a kid, I was tried to be in bands and I was frustrated to the end of the earth because everyone just talked like they were amazing and were objectively kind of crap. And it was like, I always thought if I could just do this better. I didn't think it was going to work out so well for me, but I thought if I can do this better than these people, then I'll at least be happier with myself. So when I started writing songs and getting that validation, that sort of fed in on itself, but that just kept going. And then I started making albums by myself and playing everything on it. And it wasn't for like the accolade of it. It was just because I liked being in a room by myself making things. It's no more or less simple than that. And I love being in rooms with other people now. I've learned that. That's another thing I've learned in the last 4 or 5 years is the idea of collaboration and letting go of certain aspects of my ego and knowing that a thing can be better by including other people. Whereas I used to think it would be worse because I'd be like, not my idea is the best idea, but I just knew if I could stand on stage with my idea, I could stand behind it fully. Mm. Whereas if I was like, oh, that person did that little thing and that's the thing that makes it less, it would drive me crazy. But that's changed for me. Whereas now I appreciate the beauty in collaboration and sort of the gift of being in a room with other people and making things that you admire. You know what I mean? If you put yourself in a room with people that you trust and admire, it's a special thing.
But you seem to me, as I sit across from you now, socially distant, 2 meters for anyone worrying, that you're in a good place.
I do. I feel like if you'd asked me a week ago, I would have said different. But I think with the days getting brighter and sort of like some hint of the end of this coming, I think that that's made a huge difference. And I've made some changes in my life in the last little while, just like even in terms of like how I approach my day. I used to stay up until like 2-3 in the morning and then I would get up at 6 and I'd be like, why do I feel terrible? And you know, like just silly nonsense like that. Whereas I've changed that and I'm kind of appreciating my limitations a bit more. And
so do you go to bed earlier?
I always ask people how early is early. Like you,
okay.
Like I go to bed at like 10, 10:30.
That's early.
Is that early?
Yeah. Oh, you miss the end of prime time as well.
Oh my God. You need
to go to bed later.
I know. That's funny. Because I say it to some people and they're like, I go to bed at 9. And I'm like, what? The sun is still out. Like 10:30 feels like right on the cusp of being okay. I'm glad I asked you because everyone I've said it to has been like, no, 10 is late or 10:30 is late. I'm like, it doesn't feel late. That's another thing with this last year is my energy levels are all over the grid because on the best day, I'm still doing 10, 15% of what I used to do on an average day. But I have been seeing the benefit in it because I do feel a bit more balanced. And I've been trying to find like more holistic ways to deal with it until I get to a point where I can resume some normal life and try and find a balance again. So I do feel a bit more balanced, thankfully, right now.
And when you say holistic ways, like what kind of things do you, or help you, or find, apart from getting more sleep?
I mean, like, just listening to myself a bit more. Like, usually I would push through. When I was feeling bad, like in January, February, and I was in my studio, I would push through the pain. I would feel a bit tired, and I'd be like, you've got to get back on track. So keep going, keep going, and keep going. I would have 4 or 5 days of feeling amazing, and then I would crash off a cliff. So not doing that is a basic thing. I'm just sort of like listening to myself a bit more and eating better.
Yeah.
Like, I don't eat badly, but like I'd be eating like Starburst at 2 a.m. and then I'd be like, why can't I sleep? You know, like nonsense.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like when you think about it, when you say it objectively, it's ridiculous, but yeah, that's just how I live my life. And I'm like, no, I'm trying to find a bit more balance in it before the world makes me find balance.
Yeah, which is great. Final question. We were talking earlier about social media, and obviously it's got its huge benefits because you can reach out to people, but you've only ever known a world of social media. That's how you grew up because of your age. But that can take its toll too, can't it?
It does, and it can, and it has on me. I like wear the scars of everything that anyone has ever said about me quite acutely. It's always been, I guess, not my biggest weakness, but like I think a lot of people that work for me would wish I was a bit more like thick-skinned to deal with it, but I can't. Like when I put out my second album, someone said something about the album on Twitter, and I deleted my Twitter for a year. And that was at the moment where like that album was obviously doing quite well and everyone was really excited about it and there were a lot of great reviews of it.
Okay.
But someone just anecdotally said something, and I could specifically tell you the moment where it happened. I was like walking home to a hotel in London, having done a Rough Trade in-store performance. And I just read this thing and it just destroyed my whole mood, because wherever my brain was at, it just collapsed the whole thing for me. I'm not ever sure that that campaign recovered because of it. I just felt this sense of like sadness. And that's because that's just my brain. I'm not well built for that stuff. And I don't think I'm an outlier. I think a lot of people aren't well built for it. And I think that we just think that it's the thing we need to do. And I accept what an important role it is. And I don't want to sound like I'm ragging on it, because like my first experience making music was with MySpace and finding validation on that. And I found my publisher and my manager, all these people through MySpace.
It has pluses, a lot of pluses.
Absolutely. But I would say it's probably migrated over into a thing that's a lot more curated and a lot more like what you see isn't necessarily the reality of someone's existence, which only creates this bigger cognitive dissonance where like you look at people and you think, why don't I feel like that? Or why don't I look like that? Or why doesn't my life seem like that?
Because it's all fake.
Yeah. I would love if the world existed in a more honest way where people were like, this is fake. And where people were more honest with you. Like through this last year, I would have loved it if someone in government had been more honest and open and candid about the reality of why they were making decisions rather than putting it on the people and doing different things. Because it just feels like we're all doing a curated version of the thing. And I think social media is a huge part in that, where it's just like, we have to give people the vision that we think that they want. But I don't know if people want that anymore. Maybe they do. Maybe some people do. I just crave a certain amount of honesty right now. I would love it. Anyone that's honest with me, I'm in their corner.
Well, they will be honest with you because you're so honest. And thanks so much, James, for coming in today. Stay being honest. Stay being brilliant. And your new single, Paradise, which you heard earlier, it's now available to buy or to stream. You can check out jamesvmcmorrow.com for more details. Thanks, James.
Thank you so much. Thank you.